Welcome along, dear readers of Catholic Insight, to this initial podcast that I thought we would begin in these days of self-isolation due to the omnipresent COVID crisis. My name is John Paul Meenan. I'm the editor of Catholic Insight, continuing in some small way the work of the incomparable Father Alphonse Devoc when the magazine began in 1993, all those moons ago. And I thought in this initial test sort of podcast, we'd reflect for a few moments on the Mass, particularly since none of us can really attend Mass, at least across Canada. There are perhaps still a few places in the US where there are still public liturgies allowed for the laity to attend. By the grace of God, Mass is still being celebrated, but behind locked and closed doors. So it's one of those curious providences that the Mass, after the Second Vatican Council, was revised. And this is the 50th anniversary of what we call the Novus Ordo Liturgy, the new order, or properly the new use of the liturgy. Those of you who have glanced through the documents may recall in Sacrosanctum Concilium, the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy called for a revision of the Mass. And Paul VI, on April 3rd, 1969, promulgated the Missale Romanum in the Ditio Typica, which was in Latin, which was to begin use in Advent of that year, which really makes 1970 the beginning of the Novus Ordo. So this is the half century of the new liturgy. The English version of the Novus Ordo came out 5 years later, in 1974. And we all went through the decades, many of the readers, whether as children or young adults, the deficient English translation, which was thankfully corrected and improved under Pope Benedict XVI in Advent of 2011. Whatever one says about the Novus Ordo, what we all may agree upon is that in many ways the way it is celebrated has by and large been somewhat deficient across North America, probably across the world, and the rubrics, you know, are not really followed all that closely, to put it mildly. And furthermore, the Novus Ordo itself, although I do love it in many ways, it has certain difficulties, particularly with its correspondence with the decrees and the recommendations in Sacrosanctum Concilium, which did advocate for the maintenance of Gregorian chant and the organ, and for actually small structural changes to be made to the Mass. The Mass has been revised many times over the centuries since the first Roman Missal, per se, at the Council of, well, after the Council of Trent in 1570, under Pope St. Pius V, and it went under revisions under Clement VIII in 1604, Urban VIII in 1634, Leo XIII in 1884, Pius X and Benedict XV in 1920, and revised again by Pius XII, 1951 and 1955, and then finally, for our purposes, by Pope St. John XXIII in 1962. And the 62 Missal is the one used in what is now called the Usus Antiquor, which was universally permitted once again by Pope Benedict XVI in the Motu Proprio Summorum Pontificum. What this disallowance of ourselves to attend Mass should teach us, at the very least, is an appreciation for the Mass, and also for the priests who are saying Mass behind closed doors, a deeper appreciation of what the Mass really is. Many priests after Vatican II would have poo-pooed so-called private Masses, and I'm not sure how many priests would have said Mass all by themselves. Hopefully most of them. Canon law does say that priests are strongly urged. The adverb in Latin is enixe, E-N-I-X-E, which is a powerful adverb, strongly urged to say Mass every day. Now, priests saying Mass every day, now in locked churches to empty congregations. My own diocese has forbidden anyone to attend Mass, even family members, we may presume, so Masses are meant to be completely private. Now, what is the point of a private Mass, priests may ask? Well, let's look at what the Mass is. The Mass is both the sacrament, that is, the transubstantiation of the bread and wine into the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ. And then it's also the sacrifice of Calvary, represented in a sacramental way, but the very same sacrifice, same victim, same priest, offering as was offered on that Good Friday all those years ago. Pope Pius XII, in the only encyclical ever issued specifically on the liturgy, Mediator Dei, in 1947, said that the objective value of the Mass is incomparable, even a Mass said completely in private. So we may appreciate that the Mass is still being said in locked churches across this land, whether your churches are locked or not, certainly in my diocese they are, and that the Masses still have that objective value, pouring grace on the world. So I would hope that priests would appreciate in saying the Mass what the Mass is and the graces that are flowing therefrom. What we might do, if you live near a church, is to pray with the Mass, whether going near the church or outside the church or praying along with the Mass, in some way, shape, or form, orienting our minds and hearts to the sacrifice that is being offered to God the Father in every church across this land. Tomorrow morning, Sunday, or today if you're listening to this on Sunday, or whenever, in each day of the week, there is a Mass being celebrated somewhere in your diocese, in your parish, I hope. The other thing we may say for now is that it may make priests rethink the direction of saying Mass, something I've been pondering for a while. My old parish priest would say Mass ad orientem. He turned himself around and thought that was the more perfect way of celebrating Mass, the way it was done for centuries, if not millennia, all the way back to the very origins of the Church. And priests who are not laity, who view the Mass as more of a community celebration, it may dawn upon them now in the empty churches that it is not the community that makes the Mass, but rather Christ who makes the Mass. And it is Christ's sacrifice to the Father, and ergo the reason why Mass was always said ad orientem, that is to the east, facing the rising of the sun, in both notions of that term, a sacrifice offered to God the Father, and the priest prays not to the people, but with the people, leading them in prayer, offering his sacrifice, that is Christ's sacrifice, his sacrifice as a priest, and our sacrifices we bring to the Mass, up to God the Father as an intercessor, just as Moses, David, and Christ himself most perfectly. So we should see the good that's flowing from the crisis before us, the isolation, the more or less interdict across this land in some way, that God is purifying us, allowing us to see more clearly the essence of things. As I was very blessed to witness just a few days ago, when three couples from the college at which I teach were married in simplified ceremonies. They planned their weddings for the summer, spring and summer, but realizing that this may go on for some time, they decided to bite the bullet and to tie the knot in the simple ceremonies, really without much of their family members, and those who could attend had to stay outside the church. It was just the priest, the bride and groom, and two witnesses. But the essence of what the sacrament was, that is marriage, shone forth all the more brightly. And I think what we can say of those marriages, we can say even more profoundly of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Let's pray that good comes out of this, a reappreciation of what the Mass really is, for us as laity and for our priests. God bless you all, and let us pray for each other until we meet again.